Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Radio Show is on your, well, radio, tablet, iPhone, Pixel. I had to get a new one. I upgraded again. I'm Pixel 9 Pro now. Pro edition, not regular.
Okay.
All the way to the top.
What advantages does the Pro have that the normal
Everything one? You wish your iPhone had? That's what I got.
Yeah, I am not wanting for anything. So
you're wanting for so much, you just don't know it yet.
Well, I am.
Best camera in the game, by the way.
Okay.
Best camera in the game, not even close.
Show me some shots you took.
Not even close.
I mean, you know, that would be a better shot than anything I could do. When's the last time you took a picture on it?
Look at this. This is I took a 2-hour time lapse of the last sunset down in St. Augustine. That's art right there.
Okay, so you let your phone sit out in the heat for 2 hours to take it.
I'm an idiot.
Oh, okay. What were you doing during
Captain
that
Kidd's Jolly Roger?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
But there's reflection of the flash in there because
it's not the flash. That's the lights over the display.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. If you say so.
I do say so. Point here is upgraded to the Pixel 9 Pro XL, big boy, and. You iPhone people are in a cult.
How did they sell you to go? You know what you need,
I'll tell
Mr.
You
Brown.
I'll tell you.
A guy like you, you got to go pro. Okay, all right. I mean, you're a big time talk show host, award winner. You can't go with any regular phone.
They did say all those things. That is correct. They did say all those things. Have you heard the term forced obsolescence? Have you heard this term, forced obsolescence?
I believe I'm going to put it on my tombstone.
It might be a good title for the autobiography. Forced Obsolescence, the Lonzo Story.
It's got a ring to it, doesn't it?
So there's this belief that cell phone manufacturers out there do this thing where when the next newest, latest, greatest model of a phone is going to drop, all of the sudden, the old phones stop working.
The batteries are set up to fail after a certain amount of time,
yeah.
So it takes longer for them to charge.
They also stop updating the software for the old phones, so your phone starts just working slower and slower. Long story short, literally the day before I got hitched a couple of weeks ago, my old phone just stopped. Just the screen went all the way dark and wouldn't light back up. The all of a sudden, if you opened an app, it took like 5 seconds to open and load.
That never
it was just a huge
on an
pain.
iPhone, by the
Bull
way.
Bull crap.
I've never had that problem.
You may not have, but I know for a fact it's happened on an iPhone before. It's the reason I left iPhone. It's also happening the lady friend as the 16 rolled out a week and a half ago, and all of a sudden her 14 is starting to act like a jerk.
Well, did you drop said phone where things stopped working?
I mean, many times. That's also why I have a $90 case on this one.
Okay.
All right. But all of a sudden the phone crapped the bed. And so Robbie B had to go buy a new iPhone or buy a new Google Pixel. No, he did not. He does not have an iPhone. I'm not in your cult. You blue text having weirdos.
You can try that, but I just buy whatever phone is available. I don't care. I mean, if I also like FaceTime. FaceTime's a good thing.
I'm not gonna tell that story. Never mind.
Yeah, way to go. Look at you, restraint.
I know. I'm learning.
Is that a marriage thing that's uh-huh. teaching you restraint?
Uh-huh.
Cool.
She listens to the show.
Just to see what you're gonna say.
She listens to the show. Hey, let's get to it. It is 7:04 in the morning. You are just a little over 55 minutes away from having to get your bootay to the office. And when you do, you're going to want to talk about sports. And if you're going to want to talk about sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, worry not, my dear, dear friends. That's what Lonzo and I are here for. And that's why Lonzo and I, we do this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. If you do, you need to know what's going on, and we're here to help. By the way, how about our girl Kelsey Riggs getting promoted up to Sports Center anchor? Good on Kelsey Riggs.
I was just looking at the dress compared to yesterday, the person yesterday. And
it was the same person.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Kelsey Riggs, formerly the ACC Network, and dare I say, friend of the show. We've had Kelsey on this show a number of times over the years. Kelsey
Riggs.
You think
she knows ACC Karen?
I think she worked with ACC Karen, TBH. I think she, remember, she was part of the ACC Net crew during the ACC media days where ACC Karen became the caricature that she is on the show. And she was ACC Karen-ing on behalf of the show Kelsey Riggs was on. Now, I don't think that Kelsey knew what ACC Karen was doing, causing chaos and mass confusion for those of us on Radio Row. But I do think she worked with ACC Karen, but good for Kelsey. You know what? Good things happen to those who come on the Rob Brown Show. The Rob Brown Show bump is real. Add Kelsey Riggs to the list, all right? We have won intercontinental championships on this show. We have won heavyweight championships on this show. We have won every title in professional wrestling with one exception. Zoe, correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't think we have won. No, we did, R-Truth. Well, no, he had already won the tag team championship. He was already tag team champion. Saying,
United States championship. I don't know if we've had that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we haven't won a tag team title.
We would have, but someone canceled.
I forgot about that, and now I'm upset all over again. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, and then I promise we're coming to item number one, we were scheduled the day I left to drive down to St. Augustine. We were scheduled to interview L.A. Knight. Yeah. And I want you to know, and this is a true story, because the interview was scheduled for, I think, 11:30 on that Wednesday. That was the first day I was off. We were driving down. And I told the lady friend, and she's like, listen, I don't care if you do the interview, but I do not want to leave afternoon for the 6.5-hour drive down there, especially when we have so much to do. If you can do it on the road, we can stop. And I'm like, okay. So I made all the arrangements, dude. Like, we left at an exact certain time so I could be in an exact certain place so that I could have Wi-Fi. I brought my mixing board with me. I brought my webcam. I brought my entire studio with me to St. Augustine to do one interview on the road on the way there. I stopped, right? And we got a text like, what, 15 minutes before the interview?
Yeah, it was fairly close, yeah.
15 minutes. We were sitting in the parking lot of a place that I rented to make sure I could go in and plug in my internet, plug in my mixing board and all that. And we got a text going, there's been an issue with LA Knight's availability. We're going to have to postpone. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They offered to somebody else. I'm not going to say who out of respect. But I was like, yeah, no, I'm not. Stop! I'm not stopping my trip down for this. So,
and plus, not ready for all that, prepared for an interview with somebody else. And
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm good enough. I'd make it up on the fly, and it would be a great interview. I just didn't want to. At that point, out of vindictiveness, I was like, nope, I'm getting back on the interstate. See you when I see you. Anyway, item number one. The season has come to its conclusion for the Atlanta Braves. 5-4 they lose last night to the San Diego Padres. That also is a two-game sweep of the Atlanta Braves by the Padres that kicks them out of the wild card round and out of MLB's postseason. It was a bad night for Max Fried, who, if he's looking for that big-time contract elsewhere, last night he did not make an argument for it. Max Fried, which is two innings, surrendered 8 hits, 5 earned runs, K'd just 2 before he got bounced from the game yesterday evening. The good news for Atlanta was they were able to chase Joe Musgrove. Now, Musgrove did have some tightness in his pitching elbow, but Musgrove, after 3.2, had surrendered only 1 hit, 1 earned run, K'd 4 before he was removed from that game. I shouldn't really say he was chased from the game. he was not chased from the game. He was banged up, or at least at that point of the game, it was pretty obvious that the Padres' bats were very alive, so they were able to take the pressure off of Musgrove and give him some time to go get tested and ready as the Padres now get set for their NL West rivals, the LA Dodgers, in round number two in the divisional round. The Braves offense mustered just 6 hits last night, 3 of them by Money Mike Harris, including an 8th inning home run that brought the Braves to within 1, but nobody else could do much of anything else. Ozuna had 1 hit. Soler had 1 hit. It was also a home run, a one-shot bomb from Jorge Soler in the 5th inning that made it at least look like or feel like it was going to be competitive. But at the end of the day, the Bravos just could not get the bats hot enough to make anything happen in this one. You add that on to the fact that Max Fried had a disaster of an outing, and that was all she wrote for the Braves, both in the wild card round and in the playoffs as a whole. The Braves finished the season with a record of 89-73. And we'll now head into the offseason to see what they can do aside from get a better hospital unit to keep guys out of it next year. In other Major League Baseball playoff scores last night, there will be only one decisive Game 3 tonight. That Game 3 will take place between the Mets and the Brew Crew at 7 o'clock. The Brewers complete a come-from-behind victory over the Mets 5-3 last night. That sends them to a Game 3. The other two series also sweeps. However, both of these series by the road team. The Detroit Tigers went down to Houston and knocked off the Astros. This is the first time that the Stros have been bounced from the playoffs before the ALCS since 2019. The Royals knock off the O's last night. 2-1, your final. Baltimore has now lost, I believe it is 10 consecutive playoff games. These last two get them swept out of the wild card round. The Kansas City Royals, maybe one of the most unappreciated teams coming into the playoffs, find themselves on the road in the divisional series, best of 5 upcoming. So there's where your MLB playoffs stand, with just one game remaining to wrap up the wild card round. Let's go to item number 2. Where might Devontae Adams end up? There are a couple of theories so far. One of them is that the New Orleans Saints have jumped out to be a favorite. James Jones on CBS Sports was talking to Emmanuel Acho and gave the reason why it is that the Saints have become a potential frontrunner. Adam Schefter also reporting that Devontae Adams has a wish list of 2 teams, the Jets and the Saints. So right now, the 2 front runners appear to be New Orleans and New York. Likelihood for me, he ends up in New York because they've got the room, and I think they are desperate right now. I think the Saints are desperate too. They put up 47-41 in the first 2 games, but then they're 0-2, including a loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, who got punked by the Buccaneers the next week, and a divisional loss to the Atlanta Falcons on the road this past weekend. I think the Saints are desperate, but Robert Saleh is just about out of a job at this point. Aaron Rodgers, as Lonzo pointed out on Monday, looks absolutely brutal right now, completely beat down. It's just going to depend on what happens and who makes the better offer. The bad news is neither one of these teams is exactly in cap heaven right now. The Saints are right up on it. I believe the Jets have a little bit more room to operate, but Devontae Adams has a big contract that you have to take over, and the Raiders are looking for a first-round pick. I think realistically, Devontae's going for a second-round pick somewhere, maybe a second and like a 7th, or probably more likely like a 3rd and a 6th, because the argument's going to be, we're happy to take him off your hands, we're happy to get rid of that cancer for you, but we also got to eat a fat contract to make that happen, so we're going to have to keep some capital here. We'll see how that plays out. But suffice to say, those seem to be the two front runners. Lonzo proven correct yesterday afternoon when Schefty also reported that the Raiders will not consider a trade to the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that that's easy to say until the check's on the line. Again, I would be curious to see what, if anything, it was that the Chiefs, if they're even interested, would be willing to put on the table. I think it's easy to say I'm not considering that. But as the Million Dollar Man once said, everybody's got a price. If the Chiefs pull up with a first, a second, and a fifth, I don't think you can say no to that. But right now, the Raiders say they would. We'll see how that whole situation plays out down the line. Let's go to item number three. I honestly, I don't know what item number three is. Is that weird? Is it weird that this is like a real slow day in the world of sports? I got a bunch of stories I could get to. We got NBA Media Day that happened, and practices are underway with the NBA season now about a month away. LeBron James has apparently, Lonzo, been beating the hell out of Bronny at practice, which, good, he needs it.
Shocker. Well, I mean, it's not like he hasn't done it before now, probably, so I don't know why it would be any different.
For sure.
He'll go a little bit harder, you know, at family.
For sure. You have got over in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins have a big problem. Jalen Phillips is done for the year with a partially torn ACL that he suffered in that loss to the Tennessee Titans this past weekend. Joe Burrow said that his aim is to be, and I quote, damn near perfect, end quote, for the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend when they take on the Baltimore Ravens. Over in Major League Baseball, we mentioned Joe Musgrove. He's got to undergo testing on his elbow. Left the game last night after just three innings with elbow soreness and a little bit of inflammation. That could be a big problem for the San Diego Fathers as they head up against the Dodgers in the next game. Over in the NHL, we've got trades galore happening as we are just about a week away from the start of the NHL season. Over in college football, Auburn has just flipped a four-star quarterback away from Notre Dame. You heard me correctly. Auburn, by the way, this kid's name, Lonzo, Deuce Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. That's a damn football name.
Absolutely.
Number two dual threat passer in the 2025 cycle.
You don't want to say his last name first, followed by his first name.
Working on the nice night deuce. See, I'm a morning guy, you know, which is problematic because, like, usually it's about 9:15, 9:30, and it's like, is the show over yet? Is the show over yet? Anyway, that's enough of that. So I don't really. I did my job poorly.
Threw you with that.
You didn't think.
I mean, you know, I just.
Okay. It hit me after you said it, and about 9:30. I don't really have an item number three, to be honest with you. Maybe I'm bad at my job, but I don't really have an item number three. Terrence Crawford. Hey, that's it. Terrence Crawford was offered. Never mind. Is that in the Fight Club?
You've just said. I mean, you've said 35 things for three. Okay.
Is this one in the Fight Club?
No, it's not.
Terrence Crawford said that he was offered a deal to fight Conor McGregor in an MMA bout, and he rejected that deal. Yeah, because he's not an MMA fighter.
No. It was. If it's the one I saw, he was also. It was a two fight thing, and one was boxing, and one was MMA.
According to
must be a different guy if it's not him.
Though. No, it is. According to Turkey, Alal Sheikh. The chairman, I think I nailed that. The chairman of Saudi Arabia's General Entertainment Authority, they offered them a two-fight agreement, one in boxing, the other MMA. McGregor said they would have been paid, quote, hundreds of millions of dollars. McGregor said he was ready to go. Crawford declined. Yeah, again, I wouldn't want to do that either. That's an entirely different sport. This is why people like Jake Paul get crap for fighting MMA guys in boxing matches. It's not the same thing. It's just not. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, the Upstate's leader in non-surgical regenerative therapy for joint pain is QC Kinetics. Listen to me if you are dealing with chronic joint pain that doesn't just make you live through that pain, but it takes away from things that you want to be able to do. QC Kinetics is here to help, and here is how they help. They harness your body's own natural healing capabilities. They remind you, your body, how to make that happen. They go right to the source of the joint pain. Your body begins to reconstruct that connective tissue in those joints. You get that connective tissue back. The inflammation, the swelling, and the pain go away. We get your life back. Doesn't that sound great? And it does. And here's the better part. No anesthesia, no surgery, no drugs, no steroids, no physical therapy, no downtime. You go in, you get the therapy, you're back to your day-to-day life. Just that quickly, just that simply. Go to their website, QCKinetics.com, QCKINETIX.com, QCKinetics.com, or give them a call today at 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772. Mention the Rob Brown Show and get your first consultation for free with our friends at QC Kinetics.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Do our audio blitz in the next segment because beginning at 8 o'clock, we are pretty much full for the rest of the ride. We've got Lulu Kessin coming on at 8 o'clock from the Greenville News to talk South Carolina Gamecock football. Then immediately after that at 8:20, Abe Gordon of 92.9 The Game out of Atlanta will join us to talk Braves ball. Then at 8:40, Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast will join us. We'll talk with Rashad about this weekend's contest for the Panthers. Then at 9 o'clock, Hayton Asmario from the BetQL Network will join us. We'll talk some NFL and get his thoughts on Devontae Adams and more. Then at 9:20, Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo, will take you through the world of MMA and professional wrestling. And then, obviously, that last segment of the show will be the last place for you to get your thoughts in, as well as hit what the X is going on the way out the door. So, if you want to get in, it's pretty much this segment right now. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE, text line 71307-71307. If you'd like to come at us in that direction, you can also use the voice notes on the Odyssey app. Open your Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, and on that page, there's going to be two buttons. An orange button that says Listen Live, which you can do and listen to the Rob Brown Show or Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson every single day, as well as all of the other fine programming right here on the Fan Upstate. The button next to it, though, it's a little circle with a microphone in it, and if you click that button, you can record a 60-second voice message that will come directly to me right here on the laptop. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the microphone button, and leave your 60-second voice note. It can be about anything you want, and it is open 24/7, 365. It is the only method of communication open 24/7, 365. Go to the Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstate page, click on that microphone, leave your 60-second voice note, and I'll get it right on the old laptop right here in front of me, free on the Odyssey app. So there you have it. There's the schedule for the remainder of the radio program. Got a couple of other things I want to get to. Let's start with this. The 12-team playoff could experience in the next couple of years a growth to 16 teams. I'm going to play you a clip from Damian Harris of CBS Sports where he said it's actually a bad thing, and here's why. I heard that clip, and I thought to myself, welp, Damian, if the Bama, Georgia's, Texas's of the world. You'll notice he left off Ohio State, Lonzo. Disrespect. If the Bama, Texas's, Ohio State's, Georgia's of the world, I'll throw him in there because I'm a respectful man, if nothing else.
We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. if those teams are just out and out that much better than Notre Dame, who lost to Northern Illinois, which is true. I did the research last night. Then what are you worried about? Shouldn't they just beat them? I mean, it shouldn't be a problem, right? Like, if they are just that much better than the Notre Dames, and there's no... Remember, for me, the whole thing about going to a 12 or 16 or 20 or 24 team playoff, which I think 16 is the cap. Not I'm saying it should be the cap. I'm saying I think that is what... I don't think you're ever going to get to a point where you're going to have a seed below 12 be a legitimate threat to win the Natty. But to me, the whole premise was, from the very beginning, the whole premise was give some teams a shot, right? Give some teams a shot. Stop leaving out teams that I know it doesn't happen all the time, but stop leaving out teams that a lot of us think could have a shot just in favor of the same handful of teams every year, every year, every year. Did Notre Dame lose to Northern Illinois? Yes. I guess the question you have to ask here is, does a loss like that disqualify you from being a contender? Like, should you be tossed out because of a loss like that? And the answer to me is no.
It used to. We're not there anymore. We're in a different spot, and it's people still clinging to how things used to be, and it's not that way anymore. Like, get with it. Or, you know, find another profession, I suppose.
Yeah, let's be very clear. We're not going back to the old system. It's in the books, all right? And again, as we say all the time, if you want to know how and why a decision got made, follow the dollar bills, y'all. More TV games means more TV money. More money means, well, it means more money. So we're never going back. But the reality here is, while I am willing to acknowledge that the reason this decision got made was so that there would be more money on the books at the end of a national championship run, at the same time, it still worked out better for us because we're going to get to see more of the best teams. Now, I understand that many of you are upset because you feel like it took away from the importance of every regular season game mattering. I don't think that is the case. It still has an importance because of first-round playoff buys, home field advantage in the first-round game, et cetera, et cetera. There are still reasons that even though, say, Georgia loses to Alabama, that loss still matters a lot. Why? Because Georgia will now have to, in my opinion, they will have to win out to get to the SEC championship game, which is their only way to get the bye. It's not their only way into the playoffs,
yeah,
but if they lose that game and they finish 11-2, guess what? Or excuse me, 11-2, guess what? There's no guarantee Georgia's in the playoffs because you may have two 12-0 teams play in the ACC title game. You may have two 12-0 teams play in the Big Ten title game. You may have two 12-0 teams play in the Big Ten title game. And if all those things come to pass, and you have there's three conference champs plus the next one, and you have three runners up that are all 12-1, and then you have Georgia that's 11-2, there's no promise Georgia gets in. So this concept that the regular season doesn't matter as much, maybe it doesn't because you're not at a spot where the only way to guarantee, and by the way, we already were very clearly past the spot where undefeated doesn't guarantee you anything anymore, Florida State last year, but you're past the spot where undefeated guaranteed you a trip. So I don't think that it knocks the importance of the regular season quite as much as Damian Harris points out. And oh, by the way, you talk about going to a two-tier system. We're well on our way already. And I'm not just talking about from the teams that are eligible for the playoffs. I'm talking about having the SEC and the Big Ten playing one league over here and everybody else playing in a whole different league over here. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Your thoughts?
Nah, break. We need a
break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll get Lonzo's thoughts.
No, we got a lot of stuff coming up. So,
we do.
Yeah.
Audio Blitz coming up. And then Lulu Kesson to talk Gamecocks, Abe Gordon to talk Braves, Rashad Beard to talk Panthers, Hayton Asmario to talk NFL, Lonzo to talk pro wrestling, boxing, and MMA. And then who the hell knows? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Audio Blitz, the best sound that we heard from the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Not from the weekend. It's freaking Thursday, idiot.
I'm surprised you even know what day it is. Yesterday, I was struggling.
They're just blending together.
Yesterday,
at this point.
I was like, I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah, they're just, at this point, they're just the days without power.
And they continue to do so.
Yeah, you ain't wrong. All right. Let's get to it. Audio Blitz, best sound that we have heard over the past couple of days. I don't know why. You know why I love this. This is from the Ringer podcast. Not Devontae Adams. Well, I'll just let you hear it. Number one, if that's not the most Rob Brown Show discussion I've ever heard.
I loved every second of it.
100%.
And I'm so impressed that combined, they knew kind of how to load and shoot a musket.
You ready for fun?
You're going to say they were wrong.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
I've done it before.
Of course you have.
I've done it before.
And were you in full reenactment regalia?
I was not, but I was at a Civil War reenactment, and I got to load a front-end muzzle loader, like an old-school one. So the process is that thing, you're not actually biting, actually. You're actually pulling the cloth off of a gunpowder packet that you put down into the muzzle. Then you put the muzzle ball or the mini, which is what the earliest version of a rifle bullet was called. And then you pack those things down there. Then you pull the hammer back. Then you put a sprinkle of gunpowder underneath the hammer. When the hammer strikes the gunpowder, it lights. That gunpowder then travels down into the barrel of the gun. It explodes that gunpowder cartridge that's behind either the musket ball or the mini, and that's what ejects it from the front end of the muzzle loader. It's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun to do. A good Revolutionary or Civil War soldier with a front end muzzle loader could get two shots off a minute with a front end loader when you had to manually reload. A good one could get two shots off a minute. The average time, if I recall correctly, from when I got to do this, the average time was closer to 45 seconds a shot for most soldiers. But one who was very well trained could get it done in a minute. However, I would like to say, Alan Lazard, you will become my favorite football player of all time. I mean it. If the next time you score a touchdown, and double points if you do it against the Patriots, if instead of coming, and by the way, he didn't come up and, like, remember what the LSU player did the other day, or against USC, that got the penalty that effectively lost them the game? He came up and he pulled out a machine gun and he aimed it at the opposing players. Can't do that, all right? Pretending to shoot a person is different. Alan Lazard did the finger guns, right? Like the old school thumb finger guns. And he just did it down the field where the first down marker goes. If this man rises from the turf triumphantly after his next catch for a first down or touchdown, and he was to pull out the musket, open the powder horn, dump the powder in there, ram the cartridge and the ball down there, cock a musket hammer, add the black powder, and fire a musket, he will be my favorite player of all time at that point. That would go up there with Joe Horn's cell phone of my favorite celebrations of all time. However, like I said, that might be the most Rob Brown Show conversation I've ever heard on not the Rob Brown Show. Hey, speaking of Devontae Adams, which we weren't, but I needed to get there anyway. Here's Bomani Jones and Mina Kimes talking about how we got here. ain't the same as it was a couple years ago. But Monty Minakheim saying that Davante Adams' love affair of Derek Carr is, and I quote, befuddling. It's not. He's a future first ballot Hall of Famer.
Bigger impact on which team? I think he would be a great impact on the Jets because the young receivers would see, you know, what a real receiver looks like.
Honestly, I think that's true on either team.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's true of both New York and New Orleans. Listen, the most experienced receiver that you've got, or at least the most successful and experienced receiver you'd have down there in New Orleans, is Chris Olave. And I love Chris Olave.
You know, right? Either way, he gets to play with an Ohio State
that's
receiver.
That's also true.
So
Olave, Olave.
Garrett needs him more so that he'll stop yelling at him, you know?
He needs somebody to take the wrath of Rodgers away. I think New Orleans needs a one, and I think the Jets need a leader. I think he's a good fit either way. Now, will either one of those teams make the play? I don't know. But he'd fit in either place. Hey, here's a fun one for you. This is Diamondbacks owner Ken Kendrick. Jordan Montgomery signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He was the last of the big free agents available in Major League Baseball. The D-backs made a play. Jordan Montgomery in the regular season threw 117 innings, gave up 149 hits, 83 runs, 81 earned, 14 home runs, 44 walks, 83 Ks across 25 games, and ended the season with a 6.23 ERA for a guy that they paid a buttload of money to. But here's my question. Is it within the owner's scope, great one, to come out and just put one player? Remember, the Diamondbacks had to have a sweep of the doubleheader between the Braves and the Mets by one team or the other to make it to the playoffs. Obviously, they split. Obviously, they were always going to split because whoever won game one was in. Why would they try in game two? So the Diamondbacks were effectively eliminated the night before. Is it a good idea or a bad idea for an owner to come out and completely devastate a player like that the way that he just did?
It's kind of a double standard, isn't it? You want these guys to be honest, and then when they are honest or appear to be honest about a player, you're kind of questioning why would they do that? But still, everyone's, oh, I wish they would tell the truth. I wish they would come out. Dude comes out and does it, and it's like, oh, should you have done that? I mean, you know.
I want you to know, I completely agree, and I don't have any issue. I don't have any issue with that at all. Why? Because he's right. Jordan Montgomery was bad this year. They spent million. Now, you can say, in that kind of on you, and it kind of on you that you paid that guy that much, but that is what the market dictated, right? That's what you had to pay to get a guy who was a bona fide all-star and just did not perform like a bona fide all-star this year. I don't have an issue with the take. That's an owner being candid. Don't we want more of that from somebody who's not Jerry Jones? Don't we want more of that? The answer to me is yes. On top of that, the fact that he took responsibility. He's like, that was my decision, not my GM, not my head coach. I wanted that. I signed the check. I pushed the GM to make that move. Do you understand how refreshing it is to have an owner, even if he does blast the player in the process, how refreshing it is to have an owner that's willing to take responsibility for his personnel decision? Aiden Hutchin was talking to Mike Florio. Florio had one important question for the Detroit Lions megastar. Let's spice life. You know what? Good for Aiden Hutchinson. Good for Aiden Hutchinson. We need to start. Y'all need to start continuing what I've been doing, which is calling out old fans for holding back progress. All right? Give me some spice. Give me some new unis. Remember, one of the biggest things that's happened in recent memory in college football is the Oregon Ducks. Remember a handful of years ago when Oregon started rolling out the highlighter greens and the paint-speckled unis and the chrome helmets and all that? You remember what happened to Oregon when they did that? All of a sudden, recruiting went through the roof for this school. This was pre-NIL.
As the elder on this station, I just want to say, stop doing throwbacks. Stop doing color rush. I don't care if you change the uniforms and make them brand new and like Paisley or something. I don't care. I guess Paisley would be going back. Although there's been no Paisley uniforms.
I don't think there's been any Paisley unis.
They would look good in Minnesota. I mean, you know, as a tribute to Prince, why not? But anyway, I don't have a problem with that. But the old throwbacks, like the ones that look like Hamburglar and stuff, stop that. I mean,
those one the Giants wore in week one were atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious.
I mean, who is that really for?
Yeah.
The throwback uniforms that they're doing.
These are the jerseys we wore in 1912. Yeah. All those people are dead.
Those people are dead.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me some spice. Give me some spice. I totally agree with Aiden Hutchinson on that one. Let's have some fun, man. Let's have some fun. All right. Last one. Let's go with this. Let's go with Joel Klatt echoing something that I said on Tuesday. Joel Klatt saying Georgia will want Bama. Bama does not want Georgia. Look, I agree with everything he said. Georgia figured it out. Georgia put it together. All of a sudden, that offense started ticking. They started attacking the second level. And once they started attacking the second level, it felt like a new game because it was. I would also make the argument, though, on the flip side, Ryan Williams is the game plan, right? Oh, if Ryan Williams wouldn't have made that game. Right, but he can. And he does, and that wasn't even the best catch. That catch, spin move, step back, let the defenders hit each other, run around him. That wasn't even the best catch that he had that night. That is part of the game plan. Like I get so frustrated when people stop, when people say, "Oh, you know, if he wouldn't have," yeah, but he did, and that's part of it. Yes, the defense has got to be better, but I think Bama also knows this is the new Alabama. This is Kalen DeBoer's Alabama. This ain't Nick Saban's where they're happy to go win a game 17-14. This is Kalen DeBoer's Alabama. They're happy to win games 54-47, and Ryan Williams is part of that game plan. Bama's good enough to beat Georgia again. I think that game, they play it 10 times, I think you're going 5-5 both directions. Bama just got the first one. They're not done. I told you this preseason. They're not done, Alabama. Nowhere close to it. All right, when we come back, Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News to talk Gamecocks. Abe Gordon to talk Atlanta Braves from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast at 8:40. 9 o'clock, Kate Nass Mario. 9:20 Fight Club right now. Sports Flash.
They're not done. You know who is? The season is over for the Atlanta Braves, who were swept out of the wild card round after a 5-4 defeat last night. Max Fried was yanked after just two innings, surrendering eight hits and all five runs through six outs. Michael Harris II had a two-run homer in the eighth to bring the Braves within one, but they were unable to finish the job in the ninth. Atlanta finishes with an 89-73 record. Baseball plays too many games. Just saying. In other Major League Baseball playoff games, the Detroit Tigers swept the Houston Astros 5-2. The Kansas City Royals knocked off the Baltimore Orioles 2-1. And the Milwaukee Brewers completed a comeback win over the Mets 5-3 to force the only deciding Game 3, which is tonight. And make sure you tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.